When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We welcome you all to a Roll2Cast RPG podcast in the world of Dune, Adventures in the Imperium by Modiphius Entertainment. Starring Ellen Graham as Lady Deesha, Christopher Bond as Janice, and Sean Flurl as Saba. Story, GMing, and additional rules by Phil Harker-Smith. Artwork by Jack Sumner. Music by Paul Goodman. This is Shifting Sands.
What I want to do is a feint, essentially trying to get the leader to come at me over the bridge. That's what I'm hoping to do.
Oh, like body tackle them off the bridge?
Yeah, or get him to like rush at me.
Oh, yeah, cool. Like to taunt.
Yeah, feint, yeah. I want to duck out of the way and use the precarious nature of the bridge to my advantage, hopefully.
So you basically want to... You're trying to knock him off the bridge, essentially. Yeah. It's still like a targeted use of your asset against him.
Yeah.
It's not like a move. You're not moving between zones or anything.
No.
It's just a kind of attack. But I will let you use, say, like, move instead of battle.
This is the reason I was using feint, because I've got a higher move than I
it
do
is
battle.
It is a move, right? So that's what you're doing. In the confusion, you've drawn these guys back onto the bridge. They've lost track of Oren because of your clever movements, and he merges onto the bridge, enraged that things are not going to plan, and charges at you.
Great. We still got no momentum. That's cool.
I got no successes.
3 and a 4.
Nice.
Well below the 12 that I need.
So I got no successes. So those two successes just become momentum for you. He charges at you. Do you like flip him or do you just jump out the way?
I think Silver sees Janice, knowing that very important member of the house is there, sees this leader is very nervous, but just remembers his mistake from earlier. Too hasty. As the leader rushes towards him, he essentially ducks under the legs, knocking the feet out and sending him stumbling.
He falls. So you send him stumbling and this loose green scarf leaves a trail as he goes tumbling into fetid refuse at the bottom of this canal, both dealing with him and humiliating him in the process. It's back to their go. The one on the bridge. Let's deal with him in a minute. I'll go to the two who are still fighting Saba in the alleyway. Let's do one of those. Give me a defense score. You're struggling a bit, so I'm going to spend some threats, see if I can get some damage on you by adding another die. So give me a defense.
Now, defense, I can't use anything like assets or anything to...
Unless you had like a shield, like a personal shield.
No, I've just got the bodkin.
That's an offensive thing. It's just enabling you to make a defensive action.
The only other thing is, how do personality traits work? How can I use personality? You know the two personality traits.
What
that
is your personality trait?
Well, one of them is imposing, and I want to see if there's a way that I can that they fear me.
I would rather you didn't use it in combat.
Yeah,
because I feel like you more could use like that every thing? Single round.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
You could have used imposing trait
for that
previous one. Right?
Let's do it.
And it also allows you to do things you might not otherwise. Like you can't intimidate that person. You're not imposing enough. You're like, well, yeah, right.
Yes.
So traits enable or ease or harden things. Right. So I got two successes.
And I had two successes, 9 and an 8 for 17.
So he hits you. So that's 2 points against your discipline.
Okay, cool. That's how health works, is that you go against the discipline score?
Generally, there's something like their discipline.
Yeah.
The physical stuff. It's your ability to weather and stay up. And if you reach that score, you will be defeated.
Yeah.
These guys are trying to knock you out.
Have I done a bump steer by one of my focuses? I put a focus on discipline that says pain blocking, but I'm not sure if that's something that I can't use, because I think I misunderstood how I would use discipline in
so if you were being
content,
tortured,
then that's
and
when
I called on you
that,
to make a discipline
and
roll,
then I could use it for that context.
You could
great.
Use it for
which
that
is what absolutely. I assumed. So great, awesome.
All right. In this it just functions as like a score to beat. It's like
easy.
A difficulty track.
Done.
So yeah, these guys are hammering at you with their cudgels. You're huge, but they've ganged up on you and they're just trying wear you down.
There's a choreography to them as well. Like they're on either side. They're actually communicating together in their finesse.
Which puts it to your team's go again. You all three have gone this round, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Let's see what Oren wants to do. He is still facing two people.
Can he just leave? Like if he wants to, can he move out and
he can, but he has to pass a test still, right?
Would that just mean that he's removed, as in like...
Yeah, he escapes into the city.
The three zones, which means he would effectively be out of it.
That's one of my conditions, because if you can escape through the Samuta Den into the wider city, then you can lose.
Cool.
But
what's his personality trait?
Fremen. He's a notable NPC, so he has who he is as his personality trait. He has a focus in discipline infiltration. So his skill is getting in and out.
Maybe just in.
It's not like a running escape. It's not a move focus. It's
sure.
A,
oh, no, I just meant that the problem with him is that he got caught, right?
Yes.
So he'd want to not get caught again.
Yes.
Can I put forth an argument? Sava basically gave him an instruction.
Oh, I still think he's going to leave, but he has to make the test.
Oh, yeah.
He has to make the test.
We were anxious that you weren't going to have him do that.
Yeah. He was going to turn and fight.
No.
He's not
I would
stupid.
Say, like, whether he decides to do it or not, I was going to say he knows that Sava would be upset if he didn't.
Yeah, when
he's
said, also...
He's Fremen. I was like, does that mean you think he's...
No.
Stubborn
Yeah, exactly right.
No, it just literally describes that aspect.
Yes,
in the same way that Spy describes
you.
Oh,
and also Bene Gesserit.
That's what I mean, right?
Yeah.
We can develop him more and give him those traits as he becomes more fleshed out. At the moment, that's his trait, right?
Dope, let's do it.
That's cool.
But, yes, he decides to discretion is the better part of valor. He hasn't survived as a Fremen in an off-worlder's city by being rash and foolish. So he is going to attempt to escape. He's going to use one of your guys' momentum points.
Please do.
To try and get away.
Because without him, we're boned.
His move is 5. Yeah, so I'm going to give him 13s.
Oof. Is that a 20?
Yeah.
That's really bad.
That's real bad.
So he got...
Oh, well.
It's hazy. It's smoky in there.
Ah, well.
Look, he got
back
the,
to the character sheets.
Yep. He got the 1.
Oh, is that a 1? Is that?
He got a 1 there.
Oh, that's good. I thought that was a 7.
No, there's a 1.
Sweet.
So that's a crit success.
Yeah,
that's right. So he does escape
with
the complication.
Yeah.
That's right? Fine.
So it's a move complication. So he...
He stubs his toe on a table.
Oh, that would
I think
hurt.
He's exhausted. Yeah. He's exhausted.
Yeah.
He's utterly...
He's been tortured.
Exhausted.
I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And now the adrenaline is pumping. He's wrestled with this guy in the Samuta Den, throwing him against the wall, and then he dashes out the back into the wider city. He's not really sure where he is. He's away, but he's utterly shattered and exhausted.
I'll find him.
Yeah, and if you don't find him, he's probably in a bit of trouble. He needed a healer before.
Yeah, he'll need one now.
And now he's really at the end of his resources.
Yeah.
But he does flee the Samuta Den, and he leaves his two assailants behind. Back to their round. I believe there's
two on me. You've had one attack me. There's
Let's
still one
the
more.
Other one attack you. No successes. so don't worry.
Okay.
Between the two of them, they can occasionally land a blow on you. Occasionally. And we can see that play out in this dark, cramped alleyway. You keep shoving them back as they come at you. Occasionally, they slip through your guard. But at the moment, it's barely enough to slow you down. And we've got one on the bridge fighting you two.
Yes.
He sees you throw his commander into the trash.
Yeah.
The refuse. So he comes running at you. Silver?
Oh, so do I do a defense?
A defense for you, yeah.
Okay, so what's that? My
battle? It's a battle. And
my quality.
And quality, yeah.
One success.
I got one success and another 20, so a complication.
Yay. Can I kick away your weapon whilst you
stab You disarm him. Yeah, you disarm him, yeah. So
you've stabbed me, but I keep the weapon.
Yeah.
I pull away and take the
wound.
Yay!
You are a minor. You are a minor NPC.
Oh, yeah.
So you are defeated.
Yay.
Silver!
But they're not here to kill you guys. He rushes at you, hits you in the kneecap, and then smacks you across the face. But the vehemence with what he does it, in this precarious position, he loses his footing and drops his weapon over the side. But Silver, you collapse unconscious.
There might be just like one look to Janice of, run!
It's your go, team Ikshana.
He wants to kill both of these men now.
Okay, I have a different solution.
Get the hell out.
I think we can stop the fight completely.
I mean, we're in different zones completely, so...
Oh, you're within...
You're one
you
away
can
from
see
each other.
Each other, yeah.
Yeah, I think we could stop this fight completely. I reckon there's a win. I reckon there's a win scenario.
You want to basically discourage them from continuing?
Yeah.
Yeah, how would you guys go about it?
First of all, you have to have a trait to do something.
The trait is that they're mercenary, right? And
the trait is that they're mercenary and I'm adaptable.
Okay.
I am going to bribe them with a black market trader, which is an asset that I have. Or like talk them down. Like talk them into like this is a fraught battle.
Getting them to stop is its own
Is the main thing.
Yeah, cool. Like you don't have time to like offer them something complicated.
Sure. Okay.
They're literally like grunting and like fighting.
Whacking him.
They don't really listen. I know a black market trader.
Yes. I got some insider stuff.
Can I interest you in some wares?
I don't think it's going to work.
I might have the better way in this situation.
Yeah.
GameStop is going up, guys. Here you go.
Yeah, that's right. Do you want to do that first or do you want to wait for Saber to like maybe kill one of them to try and strengthen your position?
I can persuade them by... brutalizing
one. Yeah, maybe if you kill one that even...
You're giving some damage, some shot.
Because they're starting to lose, they've lost their target.
Their leader's in trash.
Sabra has realized that he's let his ego get a little bit of the better of him. Gaming-wise, he lent into his power when he should be leading into his duty. He needs to pull back on his training rather than this ego. So I'm going back to using my duty. He's going back to using his short blade. It's very simple. I also want to use the dimness of the alley. He's going to start using the shadows to make really well-placed, calculated attacks. I'm going to be using battle and duty, which is going to be 16, including my short blade focus as the bodkin protrudes once more.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we use assets again? The dimness, how does that mechanically affect things?
So it makes the difficulty lower. So when I set the difficulty for the attack, another 20, there's a 1, so the difficulty gets lowered by 1.
Yep.
So the difficulty is 0, yep. So anything will hit and kill him. He does have a complication.
Yes.
But let's see if it matters.
John might roll really bad.
I rolled a 19, but a 4, so that's 2 successes.
So they're both spare because difficulty was 0, yeah.
He takes a moment as he like assesses and he feels these blows raining down on him. As one blow starts to come to him again, he takes a step back as he like well places himself in the shadow. You hear the bodkin as it unsheathes itself once more and he lurches out from the shadows. An overhead strike embeds the bodkin straight into his forehead.
Yeah, you step back into the shadows. Foolishly, he rushes forward and
straight
through to the skull and he's dead. He's gone.
I want to then keep the initiative and at a cost, go again.
Yes, that costs you 2. And now you can keep the initiative, but difficulty is +1.
Yep, and I'm going to attack the second one.
You do the same thing, same setup. So this time, instead of a -1 from the dimness, it's just flat. I rolled quite well, so 2. Buy an extra dice with momentum or threat.
So I'm going to grab that extra one to get an extra d20.
No momentum left.
He's going to again like take a slow breath, and I'm going to attempt to fight them as to know them again. If I succeed on this test, I'm also going to get 2 extra momentum that I can use.
Cool. For knowledge stuff.
Yes. Or to create an asset that gives me knowledge.
Okay.
two successes because I also rolled a 16 and a 17. So two successes.
Yeah, you kill him. How do you kill him?
With brute force, extricates the knife from this person's forehead. And instead of letting him drop to the floor, he grabs him by the neck and just throws him to the floor. Steps on the man's body forward. He like reaches up to club him once again, grabs the wrist, breaks his arm, and plunges the bodkin straight into his sternum, and then carves down as he releases.
Man barely has time to scream before it's cut off. You brutally slaughter both of them.
From the moment he stabs the first person, he is eyeing the second man, watching him the entire time, as I'm looking to like get a sense of what is important to these people, especially in their last moments when they know they're going to die, when they know that their situation is dire. What is important to them?
They have been glancing the whole time you've been fighting them. They've been looking in the direction that Oren went, wanting to go that way and chase that way. They know that they had backup in that direction, but you can sense that you were impeding them, that they weren't. Yeah, they wanted to take you down because you were fighting them, but their target was Oren. I'll give you that for one of your to fight them is to know them. And then you have another question if you want.
And then I want to have a trait that represents knowledge gained about the opponent. So
the scarf? No, sorry.
They're from a mercenary body in the town called the Midnight Syndicate.
Yeah, is there like a patch
like,
or
yeah,
something
if there
on
was
them?
Something
no, you just
physical.
You just there's not they don't they're not foolish enough to wear anything. But you know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, is there anything on their body that represents that? Like, obviously, it's not modern day. They don't have a wallet. But is there something that, like, represents something that might be...
What I'm just going to say is that it's their methods. It's their methods, the wearing of black clothing, the use of color to mark out the leader of their band. It's Midnight Syndicate work.
Midnight Syndicate.
It's not so much that they have a tattoo or they wear anything. It's just that you, as a fighter, know who the fighting factions in the city are. And you know that they're a mercenary band called the Midnight Syndicate. And they've been hired to take Oren off.
He'll be taking one of the clubs. But that's my turn because I've already done two.
So it's them.
Mm-hmm.
Their leader is dead. Two of them just got savagely murdered. The two in the Samuda Den try to leave.
Okay.
So one of them... first, tries to leave subtly.
Which direction?
Away into the city.
Into the city, yeah.
He passes, so he's going to keep the momentum, and the other one is also going to leave subtly.
Now, I have a question here. I also have a skill that says, with my constantly watching, if an enemy chooses to keep the initiative, increase the cost by +2.
It's not worth spending threat. Damn it. No, it's not worth... I want to keep the threat. So one of them slips out, but you call out
you
across
hear a,
the...
You hear a primal scream. He yells the name of their order.
Ooh, the mercenary band. That is bad news bears for them. They do not want to get ID'd.
What's their name again?
The Midnight Syndicate.
Yeah, you just hear him like...
Midnight Syndicate!
One of them has escaped. Two of them... remain. One on the bridge with you guys.
I'm out.
Just knocked out Silver. And one in the Samuda Den who looks like he wants to scarp it pretty quick. What do you do, Janice? You're the only one left.
That's all right.
Sorry.
I am going to move back into the Samuda Den.
Yes. So normal, boldly, or subtly?
Subtly do that.
Yep.
Do we have any momentum left? No.
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 Boo.
Sorry, I used it to brutalize them.
I did notice that. And as someone who's done that in previous seasons, I approve.
Yeah.
I'm glad. It's fun, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's great to do the thing that I'm statted for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny
cool.
That.
Let's stealthily move. And again, this is a justice action. It's not really a duty action.
Why are you moving?
To get back to him?
To get to our target. To kind of...
You're
like,
going to go find Oren.
Yeah. So this is a justice action. Well, am I more likely to be able to stop him escaping if I'm there? Not really, am I?
No, it doesn't really factor into it.
No.
Unless you were physically trying to restrain him or something.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like you.
No. I mean, I could subtly move and then maintain... If I got momentum, I could...
Then attack him, yeah.
Then attack him.
You could, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll try and do that. So like, that's duty action then.
Yeah, you're doing it on behalf of your house.
Yeah, yeah. What must be done must be done. Because I'm going to try and sneak up and then like...
Get him.
Yeah.
Get him.
So sneak... 3 successes.
Nice. 2 to succeed and then 1 momentum generated. You did a subtle move, which means keeping momentum costs you nothing. There's no one else on your team for it to go to, so you can act again at
great.
A +1 difficulty.
Lovely. I'll do that and I will spend a momentum to give myself an extra die.
And I'm just going to say you snuck there.
Yeah.
I'm going to lower his difficulty by 1.
Great. It's clouded, so lower the difficulty again.
By 2.
Great. I'm adaptable.
No, not okay. In this case, yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Come on, it's smoky thing. Who thought this big brain guy's going back and forth?
Oh, wow, he's so adaptable.
Yeah, honestly, right?
Zero difficulty.
He slices, he does.
I got some momentum.
One, and your sneak lowered at difficulty.
So. I'm curious as to what my drive...
Oh, wait, and then it's a plus one difficulty, so it's a one. One
difficulty?
One to be.
I'm curious what the drive is then. I think it's duty still.
What are you trying to do, capture or kill this guy?
That's a good question. Subdue.
Yeah.
So capture.
Duty. You want to interrogate him for your house.
Yeah,
right?
We need the information, right?
Wait, no, it's more protect him from going after.
I don't mind either. I don't mean worry too much about it.
All right.
In that case, yeah.
Well, I'll go with the... Oh.
It's not conflicting with any of them, so I don't think I want to worry too much.
Wow, I rolled a 19, a 14, and a 12. I only have a battle of... And I'm presuming I was going to use battle, not move.
Yeah, you're trying to subdue someone, yeah.
So 4 plus 8 is 12.
So you miss.
It's right on the money.
You got it.
Meets it. One success.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right on the fucking... Well, 3 dice, 1 12. So everything else higher.
He is looking...
I'm not that adaptable.
His compatriot has already fled. He is about to flee when he hears the bellowed name of his mercenary company. And he nervously looks back for a second, which is long enough for you to scamper back into the den and...
White and yellow blue robes flitting in this cloudy smoke and pipes of cloud puff
strange
through,
music.
Strange through the wisps that... are actually his cloak, as wisps of white dense smoke may appear, blue and yellows in the smoke itself, and with a like a rear naked choke comes up behind him and applies the weird cut, the Vulcan kind of pinch. Like it's the logical brain thinking of, if I want to subdue someone,
you're cutting off his
cut
artery.
A blood supply
you
to the neck.
Tamp off his carotid artery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just sleeper hold him. He goes down. Yeah. You very, very deftly, subtly...
His weight collapses and I go down with him. Like, not a strong man.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah,
like...
You just knew the point to hit.
Yeah.
Now,
and
still,
you had the opportunity.
You still, there's still one on the bridge, isn't there?
Yes.
The precarious bridge.
And he's...
By himself.
He's by himself. He's standing over Silver and then he looks up.
He has no weapon.
He has no weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Which way does he want to go?
He jumps off.
Takes himself out of the equation.
Very, very appropriate.
Yeah,
yeah.
He just jumps off into the refuse. He tries to see if his leader's still okay, and they crawl away out of the scene. Yeah, that's the end of the conflict. You have to find Orin.
Yeah, Saba. Like he comes through. He spends a close minute with the now dead Silver.
He's knocked
I'm
out.
I'm just knocked
Silver's
out.
Knocked,
oh,
knocked
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
No, sorry. He's dead. He's dead. Throws him over the edge. So nothing we could do.
He wasn't dead before, but he is now.
Well, he actually.
You yeah. know that these mercenaries are obviously after Orin for
yes.
whatever reason. But it's not uncommon to take hostages from other houses because it's a pretty profitable thing, right? So that's why they came at you with clubs, right? Because
yeah.
if they can carry any of you off, they can then charge.
But that's just a side quest. That's a side quest, right? Their main thing was to get Orin.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have minded taking a couple of you down with them. But that's what yeah. they did to... They knocked him out cold. Yeah. They kneecapped him and smacked him across the face.
So he's
coming to.
He makes his way on the bridge, and as soon as he sees Silver, he literally slaps him across the face.
Oh, like to wake up.
Yes, sir.
Forward.
Yes.
Can you stand?
Of course.
Good.
By the scruff of the neck, almost lifts you up onto your feet and pushes you forward across the precarious bridge.
We have an asset
yeah.
now. The hostaged individual, the ruffian
yeah.
that I
Yay.
Took.
Yeah. I also have an asset.
You've slept.
Called interrogation.
Yeah. you've slapped him. You can easily bind him. Like,
yeah. Great. We'll take our asset and we'll go find our ward.
Yes.
Yes. So you need to make a test for me. It's an understand. You're looking for him. Where might he have gone? Where would he hide?
Like, where did deduce
tracks?
Where he's gone?
Yeah, what tracks did he leave?
Well, I'll deduce that.
Yes, deductive reasoning. Also, another point. This is a good point to remind you of the help rules. So you're all working together on the same kind of task. If anyone else wants to help, they use a single D20, basically the same test. If they get a success on that dice, it passes to...
Yep.
The actor.
Same for complications though, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So when you say success on a single D20, and what number are they trying to beat?
Say you're doing Janice is doing an understand test.
Yes.
Yep.
You do an understand test as well.
Yep.
But instead of two D20s, you get one D20. And if you make your understand rating with whatever drive you're using.
Yeah. Okay. So you add that to that. You just attribute a drive, but you don't include the dice for the drive, if that makes sense. You use the drive to get the difficulty number, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But you're only doing the one D20.
Yeah. The drive doesn't add a. Like, it's not like the skill is a die and the drive is a die.
No, I think of it that way because you're using a drive and a skill and using two D20. So it's like buying the. Is the way I
think
of it.
Right.
It's no mechanical thing.
No. You have a 1d20 pool instead. Yeah.
Anything for the house, I'll try out.
Yeah.
What's your understand, by the way?
Fuck!
Yeah. Complication.
I was just about to say don't.
I love it.
What is your under? What's your number?
You know what happens.
What?
I put you in charge of the asset.
Oh.
That's the complication.
What, that we lose him?
Yeah. Mm. That he distracts you or me.
Sounds like a fair ploy to me.
Sean, did you want to contribute to understanding?
I'm not sure.
Before you do this, do you want to hear the difficulty? Because it's difficulty one. Like, it's not even hard.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone that far.
We've rolled it.
You've rolled
it. Sorry.
That's okay.
I figured, you know, team effort.
I'll let you track him down with a harder test.
Sure. Oh, I'm going to be trying to track. I'm going to try and track. If this guy, there's no point in me helping you because he understands my dump stat. I can try, then this might be another fail.
Well, the complication is he makes a run for it. Let's do, can you find him first? Let's do that first.
But do you want to help with, because multiple people can help, right?
Yeah, of course.
So, understand is
20. I told you!
You didn't have... It's not a dump stat if you've got a good drive with it.
You could boost it with your drive. I told you I was going to roll a 20.
You could maybe be minimum 12. I know, but I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter now.
So these two get in my way is basically what you're telling me.
Hey. I did say...
roll 20s, you moron.
Guys.
That is
morons. Oh,
sorry, no. I forgot what game I was in.
Well, out of curiosity, D&D, right? What drive did you use, Sean?
Pardon?
What drive did you use?
Oh, it would have been Judy.
Was it? Yeah, okay.
I think. Can we say there's something in the way that I get distracted by actually the fact that you caused the other one to escape? I get distracted by trying to get him back.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So you definitely can't help.
No.
You become frustrated. So I'm gonna add that complication to you that will last at least the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And the complication that you had is that this guy is making a run for it, which we'll deal with in a second.
Yeah.
But you are frustrated. It's going to affect all of your understand roles from now on. You're just, too much has happened.
Yeah.
And your underlings suck.
I feel like I'll go after that person instead of even helping out.
Yeah, you don't help at all. Yeah.
No, I'm going to actively pursue the other one.
See if you can find Oren. It's a difficulty one.
And we have no momentum.
No, I mean, you can. I've got three threat.
We're still in the same scene.
No, new scene.
New scene, great. Passive scrutiny.
What question would you like to ask?
Are there any marks in the sand or earth or dirt? Any tracks?
New scene. What's the trait for this scene? Because we're not in a conflict.
Now it's frustrated.
Bustling.
Bustling. Okay, that's fine.
Because you're out into the city proper, right?
That's fair.
You're out of the slums. It's a bit more affluent. It's people coming and going. So the thing that you notice is blood, a handprint of blood on one corner.
Great. The trait tracks.
That means easier. It's difficulty zero now.
Yep.
Watch Chris roll a 20.
On two D20.
Two 20s.
What must be done, must be done. This is the duty action.
Yeah.
Yep. And my
nothing you're doing so far understand. Goes against your duty. This is all kind of in line.
Yep. Both of those are two successes.
That's great.
No criticals, but they're two successes there.
So it was difficulty zero because of the tracks. Oh, no. Actually, tracks made it possible.
Tracks made it possible.
Yeah. So it was difficulty one. You managed it. And you get one momentum.
The one momentum. Yeah.
How about adaptable made it possible?
All right, you get two momentum.
Chris trying his best to make adaptable work.
He loves his traits.
I love this game. It's fun.
So, yes, the adaptable House of Kshana knows how to get things
knows
done.
Knows how to track.
Yeah.
Who'd
yeah.
have thought?
He can follow a track in a lost asset.
Whoa.
Honestly, right?
Yeah, it's almost like where our job is spotting stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost as if he's a spy. Oh, wait. I have that personality trait. That
and
probably helps.
Yeah, but you didn't say it.
I didn't say it.
You find Oren in this alleyway, leant against the wall, furtively looking around to see if he's been followed. He looks up and he sees you. Kshana is supposed to keep me safe. Now I have more need of a healer than ever. I hope your one you have on staff is skilled.
I don't think I say anything. I grab him and pull him up.
He leans on you.
Mm. I don't like that. We continue on, I think. I try and escort him back.
Yeah. You limp out of the alleyway and back into the street of Carthag. I'm going to need a difficulty one move.
To
to catch this guy. His hands are tied.
I'm dealing with the bumbling. No, you've done enough. Stay away from me. I'm going to clean up your mess.
His hands are tied.
I feel like you would want some help.
I'm good. And you know what?
You're fired, Silver.
I'm so dead.
So this is going to be... Yeah, move Judy.
Move Judy, yeah.
Because, like, I can't allow the house to falter.
Yep.
This is a faux pas. This cannot be done. And this person is quick. So he starts to use his environment. And he's going to climb up and get himself a high vantage point and, like, follow from atop, from, like, a higher vantage point.
And then jump down on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I've got the... focus of climb.
Okay, so I'm going to turn it into like a two-part test. Give me a climb.
Yep.
Difficulty one.
Great. Oh, 1 second. Fail.
Okay, so...
Needed 14, got a 15 at lowest.
You sure
so you don't
well?
You don't gain any advantage.
Yeah.
You keep up with him, but there's no advantage to your attempt to tackle him,
yep.
Which is a move test.
Another one?
Another move test. Great. Yeah, this was just... you wanted to create an advantage.
Yeah.
Which was... get above him so you can leap down on him.
All right, give me that momentum. I'm going to use one to get an extra d20 because I'm just not rolling well now.
Apparently not. No one's rolling
because
well.
Because he is also...
No one's rolling well?
Yeah,
you're rolling well.
And you know what? Why don't I spend another threat? Make it difficulty two.
Oh. Okay.
So there's only two threats on the table. There's only two threats on the table now.
What if I spend another momentum?
Aw, I worked hard for that. 44. I rolled well for that.
We need this guy also, to interrogate.
You lose them.
It's a move skill. I know I was joking, but given that Silver disgraced himself, does it not also
yeah, go for it.
Make sense help him
to what's try
your,
and help?
What's your drive on this?
Oh, this is still the same. It's still Judy.
How is this Judy?
They've gone against the house.
Wouldn't that be justice or power?
No, I'm going with Judy on this one. Because it's my drive. It's obey my house and all things. Like, get it done.
This isn't an order.
This isn't an order.
Capturing this guy.
Capturing this guy is not an order. It's not an obedience thing.
I think the house would definitely be upset if I didn't, if I didn't give it for
him. If the asset is the valuable thing.
I can jibe with it being Judy in this case.
Yeah. Mm. I think this is definitely something the house would want me in my role as, like, security and guard.
Yes.
And getting things
you
to
want
do
to
this.
Find out. The reason you were attacked,
yeah.
Right?
They went to get our asset.
Yes.
They want him for a reason. That jives with our overall mission.
So I can see the argument in that case for justice being the other more appropriate one, but I agree with your argument for Judy as well.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going
so
with Judy.
I would say Judy or justice. I would say it's not power. You're not trying to prove that you're better than him. I would take either of those. If you use Judy, use Judy. That's
Judy.
Fine.
Yeah.
I rolled a 5 under a 12.
Great.
So that's one success.
That helps me with lowering or
just gives you
success.
An success. Yeah. So two.
I'm going to give us so much momentum, maybe, unless it's all 20s.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's a 16, an 18, a 17, and a 1. So two successes.
So three successes overall.
Yeah.
Yes.
For one from help.
Yeah.
So you generate one momentum, which is going to... you're going to lose at the end of the scene.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Look at those 16, 18, and 17. What is up with my d20?
The dice are fickle.
It's because he's frustrated as well.
Yeah.
He's like making mistakes.
But you do catch up with him. You tackle him as he runs, waddles away through the streets, hands tied behind his back.
He just like grabs him by the... between the shoulder plays and just face plants him into the ground.
Where are you going?
Get off me, brute.
Wrong way, syndicate scum.
You haul him to his feet, and in short order, the whole of your party presents yourselves to the guards at the gate to the Akshana compound in the Waterfall District, shortly before the all-hands meeting that you're required to attend.
Oh, that's right.
I knew I had something on the diary.
Whereas Lady Disha has been doing whatever she wanted for the last hour or two.
Eating canapes.
Yes. Excellent.
I don't know. Bathing herself in this dusty, arid place. The height of luxury. She's been sitting in a bath.
They call it the Waterfall District for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the upshot is that, yes, you have secured Oren. He's a bit worse for wear, as he was already. And you have a prisoner from the Syndicate who was hired to abduct you and Oren. While Saba and Janus are just now arriving at the Ikshana compound, Lady Disha alighted from the Wind of Change some hours ago, helped down by the gallant hand of Vadim.
Not that I need it, but I want it.
Yes,
I will take it. And I'll take what I want.
The golden ornithopter's wings fold back like a dragonfly at rest.
Beautiful.
You enter the Ikshana compound. Now, my impression of the Ikshana compound is that, like your house, it makes a lot from a little. So it's quite a compact set of buildings in the Waterfall District. I see it as being austere, but not to the point of brutal. There's kind of touches of elegance and decoration.
It's like minimalist but lavish. Not lavish, but minimalist but like pristine.
Yes. What,
yeah, I had an image.
Yeah, happy tell me to more. Propose tell, it. Absolutely. This very, is, very, tell me more about it.
Yeah, very inspired maybe by Byzantine architecture and Turkish architecture. So domes and cross domes. Potentially, like, we're all about seeing others. So I think the exterior of these buildings are not too lavish in terms of colouring or paints or anything, but the interior is mosaics and geometric patterns that are all in-house colours, but the interior is all very dark. Naturally, it has to be kind of blacked out to stop the harshness of Arrakis. You want it to be very sealed and tight. But as a result, it's a very low light, and you just see of the lighting inside the compounds, it alights some of this orange glass mosaic, just making it look like parts of it are glittering with the fire of the sun itself. I got a bit too up my
as
own.
The, as with the description. Globe, yeah. As the suspensor globes kind of follow you down the halls, it lights the various images. I imagine one of the larger halls perhaps has images of the history of House Ikshana, its origins in another system, their arrival to Arrakis, their changing fortunes and adaptability over the years.
Well, we were from a moon or
a neighboring planet,
a neighboring planet to get
Geti Prime.
We said Geti Secundus.
Did we make that up? Or? Yes, we did. Yes.
Well,
yes.
If there are three planets in the orbit of that moon, Geti Prime is one, so we surmise that if there is a prime, it's
probably a Secundus.
And a tertiary as well, like a third. Yeah. So we're neighbouring to the Harkonnen.
And we followed them
to pursue there. We got caught up in that.
I
imagine that history would be depicted on your walls.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe we didn't have the full control of that planet either, and now we've come into our own a little bit here.
I think if you went down some stairs, maybe a tight spiral staircase, you might find yourself in the Veiled Archives, containing a history of the house and a few relics, perhaps, that found in your expeditions to the deep desert. They are
liberated.
Yeah, they are the kind of little icons of glory of the house. I think perhaps one of these was coveted by House Kadish, and they expected you to turn it over. It was perhaps tinged with ancient religion, and they expected that they should have it.
They're like, why do you need it? You're not even religious. We're like, so
it's part of
they can expect all they like, but
exactly.
It's ours.
It became part of the ongoing animosity between your houses, and you can find it down there in the archives. There's a small garden, obviously, in Arrakis. Water is very precious.
Yes.
So any kind of garden is an extravagance.
Highly coveted.
Yes. So this is a small one, but available for the lady and the Viscount to use at their leisure.
I'm imagining orchids. They're subtle, but, you know, require a lot of water.
Yeah. I was going to suggest, as to continue our idea of always looking at things, rather than orchids, irises.
Beautiful. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's quite good. I thought.
I like it, yeah.
And they're
yeah.
similar in shape,
they
too.
They are similar. Yeah. That's why I thought of it.
Yeah.
Oh, iris is in eye.
He gets it.
Yeah, man.
He gets it.
Oh.
I thought that was quite good, actually. Yeah.
And we will eventually, at some point, get to, they call the Desert Star Pavilion, or just the Pavilion, in an open courtyard, small, as you say, Byzantine style, kind of a pergola or a gazebo structure
in
a courtyard where Vadim holds meetings. In the style of your house, it's rather open and circular, rather than being kind of regimented and hierarchical. Everyone kind of gathers to share counsel.
It's not tiered in a way. It's just like sharing.
Yes.
There's also the idea in Ikshana's compound that most places you cannot hide in.
Well, they're circular.
Yes, yeah, circular.
So there aren't corners.
And there's places where you're just visible to everyone. And I think that compound with a lot of the patterns having our eye, it just feels like you are always being watched.
Yes. Almost the feeling of one would experience in a pentoctagon.
Mm.
Like going in and always feeling an eye looking at you. Even in a private room, there's eyes looking at you.
There are hidden eyes everywhere.
There are. Yeah. There are literally that.
So tell us, Lady Disha, about your quarters. Do you have a lot of attendants? What do you do in the time between returning from the Colosseum and tonight's meeting?
Because of her ties to the Bene Gesserit, Lady Disha does not require many handmaidens, and they have their own quarters that are close to her, but not constantly in proximity. They are mainly there to serve as a luxury, getting dressed, preparing things, not necessarily for company or really protection, because she's kind of got that locked down and she does have her personal guard. But I would imagine in her quarters there is a room that is just a spa. It's a dark place that she can go for quiet contemplation, similar mosaic tiles, candles everywhere, and just the luxury of sitting in water, bathing in this dry, dusty planet.
Is there anything that's playing on her mind about what she's learnt so far, about the things that are transpiring?
I think she is always thinking of how she can target someone. Being a courtier is a game of trying to find open nerves or deep secrets or vulnerabilities that you can make secrets up to target, like she did with Drusa. And she's just playing over the people, the vice administrator, Vadim even, and just thinking of where are those vulnerabilities. And perhaps she even reflects upon herself. Is there anything she's leaving out in the open that should be covered? Is there anything she should open up to attract potential threats and trap them? And perhaps just for flavour, there are another one of her favourite flowers is a carnivorous one.
Mm.
It's one of those bell flowers or a flytrap. And that's how she pictures herself. How can she lure people in? Where can she trap them?
God, it is that awful thing that I imagine all of us, anyone in the house is doing. You have to go over your day and going, did I leave myself vulnerable anywhere?
Mm.
Did I make mistakes? I need to go through everything and make, what did I say? Is that open to interpretation? Oh,
have I potentially endangered the house
by
a careless word or two?
Yeah.
It's hard at the top.
Yeah.
It's really
slippery at the top of the totem pole.
It really is. Yeah. So our agents also return and are allowed into the compound. Oren is handed off to the house healer, Larique, and they're to be assessed and taken care of for the time being, which leaves Saba and Janus a little bit of time to dust off the filth of the streets, the dust of the Arakeen day. We'll start with Saba. How does Saba spend his time?
Saba, I think, first and foremost, he would have checked in to make sure that the lady had returned safe to the house and is here, like returned from the party or the gathering, as it were, the meeting.
You would have been the first to know had she not, but of course.
Yes.
You still want to check
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
Have have to make sure that the proper channels have been adhered to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe because her spa is very, very private, yeah, where she would just be alone, maybe there is like an iris on her bed.
Yes.
As a kind of signal to be like, this is where I am.
Or potentially even on the door. Mm. Because I imagine, while obviously he's not going to live, his small, modest quarters have been placed not too far from Lady Deesha's. It's not obviously right next to her or anything, but it's a short distance away so that he can always be at beck and call if he needs to be. I imagine he, considering his 7-foot frame or close to, it is actually much smaller than one would anticipate for a man of his size. But quite frankly, he's always preferred that. Not quite discomfort, but at least it's not allowing him to be complacent in any and all things. So he would take a moment to avail himself of a very quick shower or bathing, or just a way to eliminate the muck and the blood, the grime that he accumulated. And I think one thing that he would have done is taken back the member of the Midnight Syndicate. I think maybe he would have even, though there's no promise of it, he would have at least made his intention known that he would like to be the one that is chosen to interrogate the member. He at least puts his hand up to say, you know, I would like to, whether or not that happens. But he knows that if they want it to be done right, they will do the right thing and choose him. Mm-hmm. And if he's got a bit of time to himself, I think he's still quite frustrated from the events of the day. As we know in the previous scene, the almost losing this member is a faux pas on his part, and he should not have left Silver to his own devices. And he takes that as a failure on his part. Even though he weirdly loathes the idea of being a trainer, he still takes it as his service and his job to do so. So if he has time, even though it's such a weird kind of dichotomy or a weird kind of like counterintuitive thing where he cleans himself up and then immediately goes into the training space and starts to get out his frustrations by, I imagine there's a lot of wooden columns and planks that are just there to be beaten into. Is that Wing Chun practice? So if you constantly attack to harden up your body.
Yes.
Considering as well that part of what happened during the day was he got taken down by clubs almost. They actually did put an effect. So he goes, I'm not strong enough. I'm not hard enough. I'm not rock solid. So suffering equals progress.
Excellent.
What a Janus. Long-winded way to get to that.
No, it was perfect.
Yeah, it's the scenic way.
Janus is moving through the house seemingly at random. He walks from corridor to corridor, room to room, looking at the ornate gemstones and Masonic work on the walls, the beautiful, intricate glasswork, gemstones inserted into the wall in that Byzantine style. But what he's actually observing is the way the house spies communicate to each other, which is the gems and pieces of glasswork, masonry in the walls are removed and put in different spots to communicate information to each other. So we don't need to speak to each other. We communicate with gemstones in the walls, how and where people are, what they're doing, how far they've come, or have they returned back or not.
It's like constant dead drops.
Yes. Whole house is a network of communicating between each other.
Yeah.
The spies of the house communicate via the walls of the house.
A green gem placed in one of the eye sockets of one of the previous rulers of the house lets you know that a scout has returned from the desert and has an updated bulletin on Fremen movements.
A shade of blue has changed from one location to another location, indicating that Fremen have moved locations in the deserts of Arrakis.
Such a cool way of communicating. Yeah.
This kind of, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Mosaic?
Mosaic shifts and moves only if you know and are paying attention in such detail to look for it. Otherwise, because of its complex nature, if you were here 1 week and then the next, you wouldn't notice.
You wouldn't notice the changes. I like unless you were very astute.
Unless you were incredibly astute, like a Mentat.
Yeah. But then you'd have to break the code.
Then you'd have to break the code. Yeah. And without being there regularly enough, it's
almost
indecipherable. Yeah. And it's throughout the house. There is no kind of like, there's no one wall where people are going, these are the gemstones that mean
things. You'd have to have access to a whole house. Yeah.
I like the idea that like even anyone that in the house that isn't a Mentat might be aware that there are messages. Like you just become aware of that, but have no idea what. But you just assume, there is stuff going on all the time.
Well, you know, the spy networks need to understand their part of it that they update.
That's it.
But only the select few understand the whole picture presented by the various communications on the wall.
And because this mosaic is so based around
either the culture of the house, the history of the house, or the fact that it's an eye staring back at you, the spies recognize their place within building that mosaic.
Mm.
Their shifting around still has to be artful and still has to represent or be part of the whole. And so each member of the house recognizes their small mosaic piece in an eye that's always reflecting and always looking back at you.
Mm. It's a constant reminder that it's Ikshana as well. Like you're like, house. I am Ikshana.
You are one part of this mosaic, this beautiful tapestry that is part of the house as a whole. Not tapestry, mosaic. Doubling down what I'm saying.
I'm sure there's tapestries too.
So Janice sees what has happened throughout his time away. The small changes, the scouts returned and gone, the ornithopters that have gone out and come back, the small deposits of spice that have been seen, or noteworthy bits of information that have come in. One minor house has suggested that they have seen a worm sign at one point. Okay, big deal. That house doesn't know what it often does, so irrelevant, but important to know that they think they know they found a worm sign, those sorts of things.
You get the information from, like, the distrans about how the other houses are, what they think of us, like what Kay received from the party after the others left.
Yeah, the social standing of the house.
Yes, the distrans are the explicit way of communication, as opposed to the subtle communications of
it's
the...
It's more direct.
Yes. Yeah. Janice will go to follow the Fremen to see how he's doing with the doctor, the healer.
Lorik. And Lorik.
So Lorik.
Is a house healer a doctor, a Sook doctor?
So it, pretty much anyone worth the name of doctor
should be a Sook doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, it's become synonymous with the...
I presumed as much, but just to be explicit.
Yes, yeah, they are a Sook doctor. And they quickly put Oren under for the sake of recovery.
Okay.
He was hiding
both torture and then a battle.
He was hiding his injuries very well.
Yes.
He was actually in a lot worse shape than he
broken.
Was then. Yeah.
Yeah,
he was letting on.
So
once he reaches safety, he kind of gives out. And after a quick assessment where Lorik carefully puts his hands on Oren's body in various places to assess his pain, his circulation, and his general health, he administers a drug that puts him under. And he informs you that, yes, he will recover, but it may take a few days at least. I wish to have him sedated so that some of the more painful aspects of his treatment can... pass by.
Janice asks, yes, how many days exactly? I need to know.
3 days.
Good. And leaves.
Lorik returns to his work. You will be expected, you know, to give a report to Vadim.
Yep.
Come tonight. So do you spend time to work on that, or is it just something that formulates in your head?
It's something that formulates in the head. What Janice will do is, probably at the start of our next scene, if you're okay with it, do the calculated prediction, understand role. At the top of it. So he will spend time in meditation thinking about the odds and ends, the different traders and black market contacts that we have, and how that shifting web of social connections and market values will probably collapse in the coming days, weeks, months regarding the news that we've heard. The opportunity in the big expedition, as well as the leaving of a major house. And how these things are all going to impact each other. His mind becomes a kind of network of a cork pinboard with red.
Going to say
lines.
The red string.
Yeah. Well, let's do your.
He does a mind palace.
Yeah.
He does the mind palace thing. Well, let's do your calculated prediction now.
Okay.
It's a good moment to do it, I think.
Yep.
Before we get into this larger scene. So you sit in meditation, your eyes roll back, the whites show, and you attempt a difficulty 4.
Difficulty 4.
Understand roll.
Okay.
Where is understand in the realm of skills there in terms of the hierarchy?
I have it as my highest.
Oh, it is your highest.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
It's my lowest.
And your drive?
My drive, I think, in this case, so I'm thinking it's justice. I must protect the house. But
yeah,
potentially not.
You said you were
from
thinking
the economy.
About threats and...
So potentially it's power? Well, I think it's actually truth. I think that's the motivating thing here.
Do you,
what
like,
will be the truth
what,
of the
what's,
situation?
What's actually, it's to figure out ahead of time what's happening, right? It's not a, I don't have to do this to,
I don't want,
I'm
I don't
not
want
required
guesswork.
To do this.
I don't want guesswork. I want what is.
Yeah, I'm not required to do this. This isn't a faith action. This isn't a justice action. I'm not trying to balance the scales or anything. I'm not trying to revenge myself. I'm not trying
You're just
to
trying
power.
To see clearly.
I mean, it could be argued power. I'm trying to get ahead of, like, I'm trying to power
it's
not
it. Kind of personal, it's more like power, what though. You want.
Yes,
yeah. I think truth is
truth
fine
is
here.
Which is
yeah.
one of my weaker. It's only 5.
Yeah.
So I have a total roll of 13, but I am. It is a
deductive.
It is a deductive reading.
I'll
so
let you
anything
use your focus.
Under 8.
So
that's your what your talent yeah. allows.
So you need a 4. I will let you know that you're only on 2 threat at the moment. I'm only holding 2 threats. If you want to buy dice with threat, that's
and
fine.
And we don't have
too.
Any momentum.
That's no right. momentum at the moment.
1 for 1.
So first one is 1. Second one is 2.
I'll just buy 1 dice.
With a threat?
Yep.
Yep. Great. Yeah.
We can go to threat 3. Yeah, that's
threat.
Fine.
We can go to threat 15.
You can have as much as you like, but I do like to spend it. So
yes.
Yeah. I think Phil's got 15 tokens.
Threat.
Yeah. Giving threat to the game master is a good thing.
Yeah.
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 It's we want to make, make it juicy.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more I sit on, the more nervous he meant to get. That's the idea. Yeah.
Well, I rolled a 2, a 5, and a 9. That's so that is 5 strange. Successes.
Jesus.
So 1 momentum.
Thank
spare.
You.
So do you have the exact wording? We did read it yesterday.
You
but
probably do.
I'll also get it up for...
You give me a prediction. It can be as vague or as specific
I know,
as
I
you
know.
Like.
So it was to do with the fallout from the houses, right? That's what you were thinking of?
Yes. Well, specifically... So part of the things that we're investigating as players' agency over what's happening is... going out on this expedition, but also all of the contacts and market organizations that we have, all of the contracts that we are going to be voiding.
Yes.
Right? So it's around those subjects, the contracts that we're going to have to void because a major house is gone and we will be kind of left a little bit in the lurch. So what I just did was calculate a prediction using the facts and figures you've memorized, your ability to process information. You can attempt to predict the future. No such predictions are 100% perfect as there may be variables you are unaware of that affect the future. Understand test with difficulty 4. Your success. You may ask the DM master to state something that is likely to occur in the future. You may ask for 1 additional prediction for every 2 points of momentum you spend. Game master can make these predictions vague, and they do not have to explain any context for the prediction or why such a thing is likely to occur. Phil, what is 1 thing that is likely to happen in the future?
You'll go on an expedition. Damn it.
Yeah, it feels like my inciting incident. My plot.
It's very interesting for those long-term listeners of Roll to Cast that I, the typically numbers crunchy guy, is pulling the give me a wishy-washy
vague psychic thing.
Give me a vague narrative
just
thing.
As our characters have arcs, sometimes us, the players, have arcs.
Never. I am a static. You can trust that. I will never change. I am one thing. See, and Sean, this is where you cut because I'm talking about that fucking parasocial relationship.
No,
I can't be a complex human being with different thoughts and opinions.
You got 1 skill.
Yeah.
And 1 drive.
I am one thing.
You're a minor NPC.
Yeah, that's true. I know who the protagonist is.
Sanctions from Chome.
Oh, fuck, of course.
Now, Sean has no fucking idea what that means. What the hell is a Chome?
Well, I can't remember the acronym, but you have to go through Chome
Combine,
for everything.
Combine, Honnet.
I read about Chome when I was doing my research
Combine,
on
Combine, Honnet, Ordis, something mercantile.
What are they responsible for?
Everything.
Everything. You have to go through Chome.
They are the corporation.
That's right. That's
so
right.
They're the galaxy or universal
Ober. It's Honnet, Ober.
Yeah.
Artes.
Advancer.
Advancer, right.
Mercantiles.
Combine Honnet, Ober, Advancer, Mercantiles.
Yeah. So in terms of like, what are they responsible for? Because you've also got like the Spacing Guild and things like that.
So they're very closely tied to the Spacing Guild, right? So if the Spacing Guild do all transport and banking.
Yes.
Chome do all trade and finance.
Got you.
Essentially.
For because it's using all different kind of ancient earth languages to make that acronym, right? The rough translation is Honorable Union for the Advancement of Greater Trade.
Okay.
It is a corporation in which almost all houses hold some sort of shares. So Chome is part owned essentially by everyone, and they give out dividends from the profit that they make by enabling trade amongst everybody in the known universe.
Which is why you can't fuck with
you
Chome.
Fuck with them. You have trade. You could have direct sanctions. You could have Solari fines. You could have your shares taken away.
A gigantic monopoly encompassing all forms of commerce across the Imperium, which essentially controlled all economic affairs across the cosmos, although it relied upon the Spacing Guild for transport across space.
Without the Chome, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You have no access to trade. And because, you know, each planet is so disparate, without the Spacing Guild, without Chome, you are fucked.
And so when, if it's vague that it doesn't specify or not, and Chris might ask this anyway, but when it says sanctions from Chome, is that we are getting sanctions, or there will be sanctions just more broadly speaking?
No, houses will pursue essentially legal action against you. It's not big enough to go up to the Landsrad, but it's a contract dispute and Chome handles that. So that's
not
where
great.
It's not great. No. It's not great. So on the current trajectory, you're likely to be sanctioned by Chome, and that will hurt in the near term the fortunes of the house. Obviously, Harkonnen are bankrolling certain things, but it's going to be stormy. You see stormy financial weather on the horizon.
Ew. That's bad.
Okay. His eyes unwhiten. You go, ew.
Janice looks into the future and is unsurprised what is there, reflects on the past that has led to this, and considers how the meeting this evening will go, or this afternoon will go. Cool. Thanks for that.
No worries.
I love predictions.
Yeah.
And how much weight generally, this might fluctuate from house to house, how much weight does a house put on the predictions of Mentats? Is it seen as a pseudoscience, or do they have great faith in it?
I think it really depends on house to house, the quality of your Mentat. Not all Mentats do prediction.
Yeah.
A lot of them are kind of just data storage.
Janice is predictive.
Yeah.
A lot of even just going into the rooms with him, like we did with the administrative room, that was pseudo prediction.
Yeah.
Just when Janice starts doing things, people follow in line because he can read the outer eddies of a situation.
So for Ikshana, people do put stock in his predictions and such, as opposed to going,
he can spot Wormsight.
Great.
Yeah.
He's can do that.
Yeah.
That's not
using prediction
and just being able to be like, hey, cool, because I can do passive scrutiny.
Yeah.
I can seek information and then I can turn it into traits.
Yeah.
So all of my characters is built around is, and that's why it's called Janice, is seeing the future.
So one thing I would liken it to is that a corporation, which small houses are somewhat akin to in a lot of ways, in our world would use financial modeling on a computer to predict its future, right? And would base decisions on that. In a similar way, houses use Mentats to do future modeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And base their actions on that.
It might not be 200% accurate, but it's going to be pretty damn close.
Right? Yeah. It's some extrapolation into the future. So they treat it with about the same amount of skepticism.
Right.
So they don't like, you didn't predict it down to the number.
Yeah.
There's disappointment if there's shortfalls, etc.
Because that's what you're meant to be able to do.
If you're really off, then, you know, maybe your career is
over.
In danger or over.
Retraining.
So there's some skepticism, but it's useful information. Yeah.
Especially
always.
If it pays dividends. It's like, well, you've got a track record of paying off with these predictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
World building.
So after the evening's meal, when everyone is fed and alert, is when Vadim likes to hold his council in the Desert Star Pavilion. In the evening, under the open air, with suspensor globes hovering around the space, the core staff gather in the pavilion, a circular space with stone benches around the edge, where various staff and important people can sit. Vadim himself likes to wander during meetings. He stands, he moves around, he can be quite expressive with his body language, or he can go quite still when he chooses to as well. But he has found that his meetings flow better if he's not constrained to sitting there taking counsel from those below him in a seated position, hand on chin. No, he thinks of it much more like what in modern parlance we might call a stand-up.
It's less
he's got the microphone cable.
Yeah.
it's less formulaic in that kind of rigidity. It's more, as you say, open and...
Yes.
Our house is quite adaptable. I imagine free-flowing movement...
Yes.
...assists in his brain computations.
Yes.
It's literally, we are flowing together.
And during the evening, various staff will come in. You don't have a huge staff as a small house, but, you know, they number in the dozens. So people will come in with extra refreshments, or lower level spies will come in and give reports, maybe to yourself, Janus, or to Vadim himself. It's not a completely static scene. There are people who come and go through the evening as you start to formulate your plans. And once you're gathered and settled, perhaps with a small refreshment in front of you, a dash of spiced coffee, or simply clean, fresh water available to you, Vadim opens the meeting.
You
You have been listening to Shifting Sands, which is a Roll to Cast production. The best way to find us is on Twitter, Discord, and our Patreon. All our podcasts are on Acast, Spotify, YouTube, and all good podcatchers. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/rolltocast. Dune, Adventures in the Imperium, is an officially sublicensed property from Gale Force 9, a Battlefront Group company. All rights reserved.
So your first question is, how's
our house being perceived? How's our house being perceived?
1 second.
Yeah. They're coming for me to take me away. They're going to give me a little snack. Fuck off, cops. I think it was an ambulance.
Oh.
Yeah, Sean.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.